Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are all welcome in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you for another day to learn at your feet. Thank you because your word that you speak to us, their spirit and their life. So we welcome spirit, we welcome life this morning. Even as we go into your word, thank you, Lord, for enlightenment for every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for understanding for each and every one of us. We receive from you today. Blessed be your name, our Father. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Take your Bible. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 22. Proverbs 18:22. Can we read together? You can look at the screen. So read out, please. All right. It says, he who finds a wife finds. And else it says, finds a treasure. Finds a treasure. He who finds a good wife finds a treasure. And he receives favor from the Lord. That's NLT. Let's talk today about, I'm going to be as practical as possible. You know, I mentioned last time that I want to talk about things that you should look for in whosoever you are dating or whosoever you think you want to marry. You wanted me to talk about it that day. And thank God you are here today. So we're going to be practical. What are the things? In as much as there's no register in heaven that has all the names of builders and conquerors, male here, female here, and they have matched everyone. A must marry C, D must marry B, and you must find yourself. I don't believe there's such register. Because if there's such register, then it means that I don't have a choice in whom I want to marry. Somebody made a joke and said, God is no longer matchmaking. God is no longer giving any wife to any man or any man to any woman. Why? In Genesis chapter 3, when they disobeyed God, and God asked Adam, why did you do this? What did he say? He said, the woman you gave me. So God is not, he's not giving. He's not, nobody's waking up, so to say. And to just, you know, you're being under anesthesia and just suddenly open your eyes and you see this beautiful and bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Such is not happening again. You have to find as a man. And the word find means you are, is actually an active word. All right? It's an active word that is intentional. If I brought something in to this place, let's say for instance, my bag, I came in with my bag. If I go back to my seat, I don't find my bag there, I'm going to find it. I'm going to look for it on purpose. Why? I have some important things there. My bag is important to me. I have some stuff there that I don't want to miss. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to be on look out for it on purpose. But for something that is not important, even if I miss it, I may just brush over it. But marriage is such an important part of your life that you have to take serious. You have to pay attention and you have to find on purpose. You have to be serious about it. If you marry at 25, if Jesus doesn't come in the next 50 years, you'll be how old?
you'll be 75. So that means spending about 15 years with one person. Don't you think you should consider it very well? People who don't consider it very well think there's always a way out. And that's why you find, I was there on Monday, I had a meeting with some pastors. And one of them was saying that, she said, I have an issue. So her phone kept ringing because they wanted her to give attention to a couple. The person called and said, yes, I'm presently the pastor of this couple, but you have pastored them and I think you will be able to help them. The marriage is just 1 year, 2 months. And the guy packed the lady's belongings early Sunday morning. We were talking on Monday. And by 6 a.m., he was already in Ibadan to drop all her belongings in her father's house and go back to where you're coming from. Go back. So for such a scenario, you wonder, what went wrong? What could have happened? But a lot can happen when we ignore some things right from the onset. When we don't pay attention to what we're supposed to pay attention to, we say love is blind. And I tell people, well, if love is blind, if you are blind when you are making your choice, don't open your eyes in marriage. If you blindly make your choice, then blindly live with the person. But unfortunately, we blindly make the choice and we now open our eyes in marriage after you have said, I do, and you are done. But you now want to say, no, I'm not doing it again. And God says, I hate divorce. I hate. That's one of those few times that you find God using the word hate. Say, I dislike divorce. Why? Divorce is like tearing off. You know, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And they become one flesh. So whatever is joined together and you are trying to separate, do you think it should just go like that? It doesn't just go like that. Anything that is joined together and you are trying to separate, is it that this one will tear off out of that one or tear off out of this or become unusable or true? And if you have seen anyone who has gone through divorce, you would not want to marry. Or you would think twice before you marry. But I didn't say all that to scare you. I just want to call your attention to the fact that there are some just basic things. Some people say, oh, I need to pray. I need to pray and fast. And take the names of 1, 2, 3 to the mountain. Have you heard such before? Let me make you laugh. A guy wanted to marry. So she had 3 ladies. Lazy guy. She had 3 ladies, or maybe not lazy, maybe he wasn't just ready to do the assignments himself. So he took the names of the 3 ladies to a prophet. Alright? So the prophet said, come back for answer after he must have prayed. So the prophet took one of the names and told him, that's your wife. The prophet didn't see any of the ladies. It was just names. Joke, Joy, Juliana. So, after the guy had picked Joke, he decided to go and see the prophet. I don't think they were married then, or maybe, I'm not sure. I can't remember the story very well. But when they got to the prophet, and the prophet saw the lady, he said, who is this one that you have brought? This is not your wife. say, ah, prophet, that's the name you picked. That's the name of the person that you picked from the list I gave you. He said, no, I did not. He's not your wife. He's not your wife. And that's the beginning of confusion. Confusion. So, in as much as you're going to pray, seek God, you should start with that. But at the same time, there are certain things that you just watch for. Do you know that in those days, when people used to marry without the issue of love, sometimes they never saw their spouse-to-be until the wedding night. Rebecca and Isaac, they didn't do courtship. Are you listening? I'm sure some of you are going to turn off your nose and say, no, that's old school. How can I marry somebody that I don't know? So what do you know about them? Since we have been trying to know ourselves, what do we know? What are you looking for? What do you need to know? Oh, I know she's a pretty lady and there's an handsome guy. He has six packs. Oh, I know him. He works in so, so, and so, and so. Thank God for all that. I'm not going to say just marry somebody you know, you are just meeting on wedding day. I know that time has gone. But then you have to be wise. There are some things that they are already obvious. They are already obvious that there will be trouble. There will be trouble. I've seen quite a number of such scenarios that you know right from the onset. I was talking with someone last year. I said, yes, you were going to marry him. But during the time you were courting, it was obvious that this guy was cheating already. It was obvious. But we close our eyes. We don't look. The person that turns out to become so violent, you know, that violent thing didn't start a day before. And especially for you ladies, you cover what you should not cover. You accommodate what you should not accommodate. But suddenly, because you think that you can change that person, because you think you can change, nobody can change anybody. Praise God. You can't change anyone. You can't change anyone. I can tell you. You can't change anybody. Our first daughter that got married, before she brought the guy and before they got married, I kept telling all of them, and I still tell them, "What I don't know this guy the way you know him, but whatsoever you see now, that's what you get after marriage. Whatever you think you can cope with now, that's what you're going to live with for the rest of your life. So sort it out right from the onset. So when you start to think of, oh, I want to date someone or somebody is my friend and I'm thinking of, as much as you're going to look for these qualities in that person, you're also working on yourself such that you also develop the quality, because you're going to be found as a lady. And as a man who is going to look for these qualities, you must also have it. It's not a matter of, oh, you know, I'm not a serious person, but I want to marry a serious church girl. It's not going to work. And unfortunately, you're going to find another unserious church girl like you. Because God will not allow you to take what you don't deserve. So what is the first thing? These are very practical stuff. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. For anyone that you're going to consider for marriage, or you are in courtship, look for this. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against such, there's no law. Gentleness, Self-control. Give us verse 22 again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are attributes of a child of God that is walking with the Spirit of God. These are the things that will grow in your life. You know, today everybody is born again. When you say, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, I go to Rock Foundation Church. But you can go to Jesus Christ Chapel. If these are not in your life, you are a joker. You are just deceiving yourself. And if you are a growing believer, walking with the Lord, reading your Bible, praying, coming to church, mingling with God's people, this should be fruits that should be coming out of your life in increasing measure. That is, you are a loving person. Joyful. Not moody and sad. You know, small thing will happen and for the next 2 weeks you have lost your joy. No. Long suffering. Peace. The Bible says, it's better to live on top of a house than to live with a contentious wife. You know, contentious people, they are always fighting. They are always looking for. If you say A, the person is ready to say B. And sometimes it's amazing that even during courtship, such things happen. And we don't take it serious. The person is always fighting and fighting and fighting, you know, looking for ways to just no peace. That's a dangerous sign. Because when you are already experiencing that in courtship, you're going to have it full measure. You know, in courtship, everybody is putting up the best appearance. Am I right? Talk to me now. When you are dating someone, when you are in courtship, you are trying to impress each other. So if during the time of him or her impressing you, you're already feeling depressed, you're going to have it full measure in marriage. It's not a prophecy, it's a reality. So look for these fruits of the Spirit in the life of the person you are dating or you are courting. Especially towards other people, not towards you primarily. Especially towards other people. How does he treat other people? How does she treat other people? Especially other people. When you go to a restaurant to go and eat, how does she treat people? How does he treat people? Does she feel, oh yeah, you are the special one? You know, that's why girls get deceived. Oh, he's in love with me. It's because those people are always making him mad. But he's in love with you. He's not mad with you. Or she's not mad with you, but you are mad with every other person. That's a sign that something is wrong. That person needs to grow up. Or you need to grow up. How does he treat other people? That's what you don't need to pray and fast about that. It's something you can see. If I stay with you for 1 day or 2 days, I can see some things about you. How do you treat people? Are you gentle with people? Will you find such a person? No, don't worry. That's just, don't, you know. Always looking for ways and means to make peace with people. Suffering long. Oh, you have an appointment for 2. And it's 2:15. And the guy start raking. What kind of thing is that? And start speaking. You know, Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. So when he's angry, when he's upset, what comes out? What are the actions when things don't go his way? The fruit of the Spirit. And it means that you and I must keep working on ourselves so that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You know, when couples fight, they turn against each other so bad, Sometimes you wonder if they were ever in love and what kind of love. And you find that it's not just all emotional love. Emotional love is to feel good because you have been good to me. Oh, I feel good. Oh, he's sending me like this morning. I woke up now. I woke up to a message from my husband. You know, a WhatsApp message. Blah, 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 blah. You know. That makes me feel good. That's emotional. But this kind of goodness is even when I don't feel good, I go ahead to do good, to be good. Not because, oh, he's good, then I'm good. That's reactionary. But even when I feel upset, that I'm still good. That's what each and every one of every believer is supposed to be working on himself or herself to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And like I said, largely when people marry and they start to have problems, big problems that before you know it, they say, is an irreconcilable difference. Guess what? Fruit of the Spirit out. And when the fruit of the Spirit is out, what will come in? Works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. Give us the preceding verse of that. Okay, verse 20. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. These are works of the flesh. Your life cannot be in vacuum. Envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, you know, all kinds of things, etc., etc. Your life cannot be in vacuum. It's not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. No. Is it that the works of the flesh, they are manifesting, you are growing them, just like you plant a seed and it's bringing forth fruits. And the fruit will keep yielding and yielding. Is it that the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? And look at that word. It says fruit of the Spirit. Fruits grow from seed. Is somebody listening to me? Fruits grow from what? From seed. So it's something that you plant and you water and you allow to go through the process and the fruits begin to manifest in your life. When you hear the word of God about love, the commandments of love, when you hear the word of God about, you know, these fruits, when you begin to accept them in your heart, that's like planting to receive the word of God. Bible says, Peter talked about receiving the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. When you receive that word, think about it and you are looking for, oh, I want to practice this. That's the process of the seed bringing forth fruits. I'm going to repeat it again. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, they don't jump on you. They're not like, you know, Yoruba will say that, obiri o mo wawu, olohun o lori oko. Have you ever heard that before? Huh? Okay, you read it this morning. A woman says, a woman does not have good character. And she turns around to say, I'm not just gifted with having good men. Which good man is going to live with a contentious lady? You know, I say, it's not a gift. That's what I'm trying to say. Fruit of the Spirit is not gift of the Spirit. They are not. Holy Spirit can give you gifts. That's why you find somebody can come and, you know, everybody wants to marry somebody in the choir. Somebody that preaches. Why? Because you can, But when she gets to your house, she's not going to be singing. She's not going to be singing hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That guy will not be playing keyboard 24/7. So you don't marry people because of gifts. Oh, you can speak very well. No, you don't marry because of gifts. Because gifts without character is going to cause problem. You won't live with this keyboard skill in the house. You won't live with this beautiful, sonorous voice in the house. You're going to live with the person. And that person is the fruit that comes out of the life. Whether they're going to be pleasant or unpleasant, that's what you will live with. And fruits, they are not gifts. Fruits, you plant the seed, you water the seed, you work on yourself. I remember giving my life to Christ in 1985. And even before I gave my life to Christ, I knew that Christianity, Jesus and sin didn't go together. I knew that. And that's why when I was in secondary school, when they talk about Jesus, come and give your life to Christ, I used to tell them, leave me alone, no, let me enjoy my life. When I enjoy my life, when I get older, I'll give my life to Christ. And that's one of the prayers that you thank God that God never allowed, that God did not answer. Because that's what I used to say when I was in secondary school. And which life was I even enjoying at that time? I don't understand. I never went to a party until I finished secondary school. Because I didn't have any boldness to approach my mom to say I was going to a party. The questionnaire I will first of all fill. I knew ahead. But that's what I used to say because I knew that Christianity and sin. So, all right. So, in 1985, after I dedicated my life to Christ, I made up my mind I was going to follow Jesus. Then when anything happened, you know, my whole lifestyle was, you do me, I do you. You offend me, I cut you off for 2 weeks. You will see ourselves in the neighborhood, in class, we will not greet ourselves. How many of you under, okay, you were born in the, you came perfect from the womb. How many of you are like me? Or you are still like I was? I will just cut you up. But I find it so uncomfortable as a child of God that no, I can't do that. And so when people offended me as a young believer, that's when I started. I would read my Bible. Bible would say this and that, love, joy, goodness. So I would go on my bed. I would cry. I remember there was one particular sister that used to give me so much heartache. She would offend. And it will still be like this. Expecting me, you know, then it's a matter. I won't be the first to come and greet you. I won't be the first to come and say sorry. And she's the one that is in the wrong. And I will cry. I will cry on my bed. Cry and say, God, this Christianity. God, you know that she's the one that is wrong now. She's the one that did this. She's the one that. And in my spirit, I will hear, go and greet her. Go and tell her you are sorry. And I did that. And that was like preparation for me. That was like tutelage for me as a young believer. That today, there's nobody I can't tell you I'm sorry. If I've offended you, I am sorry. I want to make up with you. Because I'm a child of God. And the fruit of the Spirit from my life should be joy, peace, goodness. I said all that to say this, that the situations where you find yourself now that looks as if, oh, this one is bad, that one is bad, this one offend me, they are opportunities for you to grow the fruit of the Spirit. They are opportunities for you. Oh, that one offended me. Oh, that one. Opportunities to grow the fruits of long suffering, of patience, of goodness. Jesus Christ said, they have said to you, high for an high, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, in Matthew chapter 5, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and who despitefully use you, so that you will be like your Father in heaven, who causes the rain to fall on the just and on the just. He said, therefore, as your Father is perfect, so you be perfect. It means to grow up. It means to mature. Because God will not commit things, greater things, into the hands of immature people. God will not allow you to handle greater things in life if you are still a baby and you want to remain a baby. You are cutting and I can't stand that. It is your generation that I'm hearing conversations like, oh, if a guy asks you out, should he be the one to buy the dress you're going to wear out? Should he be the one to pay for transport fare? Should he be the one to order Uber for you? It's a goodness. If you're thinking, if fruit of goodness is growing in your life, will you be thinking, should I pay? You know those kind of stuff. They can do that in the world. But for us as believers, as children of God, God wants us to manifest who He is. And God is love. And when you say you're a child of God, that's what should grow out of your life. So when you are dating someone, you are in close relationship, you are thinking of marrying with someone who does not, and he does not even intend, or she does not even intend, before you bring it up, no, just stop it there. And you see all this, you may decide to still marry the person, you know, like church. Shadura and Shami. Have you ever heard that before? When pastor says, in Jesus' name, what do you say? Amen. But who goes and lives with that person? It's you. And when trouble starts, we will still counsel you. But who will be going through the problem? Praise God. So this is what you should look for. Oh, he has a nice car. Fine, thank God. She has nice shape. Thank God. He smells good. Every time I just come around him, he smells good. And that just, thank God. Can you smell goodness too about the person? Can you smell faithfulness around her? Is she a peace-loving person? Those are the things that matters. Those are the things that matter. And when the rubber meets the road, that's what's going to either push you forward or push you backward. So it's very important. Character. How you treat other people. How she treats other people. How he treats other people. And of course, if he treats other people well, he's going to treat you well. That's an indication. If he treats other people well, if he's kind to other people, that's an indication that he's going to be kind to you as his wife. Because it's a fruit that is coming out of his life. He's not trying to, we talk about, this is a time of makeup and packaging. Abi, say, fake it before you make it. He's not faking it. It's fruit that is coming. And as long as such a person is rooted, still connected, the fruit will just keep increasing. So look for the gifts of the Spirit. And you that you're going to look for the gift, fruit of the Spirit. And you that you're going to look for the fruit of the Spirit, you're also developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Even sometimes you are already in the relationship and issues come up. See, that is an opportunity. Sometimes people jump in and out of relationship. Why? Because the fruit is not growing. That's just the reason. The fruit is not growing. You are not getting better as a Christian. You're not growing. The fruit of the Spirit is not growing in your life. So you're going to have, you just be jumping. You say this one, you jump out. That one, you jump out. And you are not yet married, but you have gone through 5, 6, 7 men or women. It's not nice. And you're talking to my first ex, second ex, third ex. And before you know it, you are exing yourself out of the real thing. And you just want to bring so much confusion. So much confusion in your life. Because you know what happens? When you date say for 6 months and you are out, you date B. By the time you are getting to C or D, you are already confused. Because you now remember, oh, A was such, A had this, B had that. Come on. You don't need all that baggage in life. You don't need that. You don't need that. Praise God. So, as you develop the fruits and asking God, like this morning you prayed that your desire for the word of God will increase. Because that's one of the ways. David said, how can a man make his way perfect and keep away from sin? He said, by giving attention to your word. So the more you relate with God's word, you think about it on your own personal life, in your own personal life, as an individual, relating with the word of God, looking at the word of God, reading, and reading in such a way that you want to practice, you find that the fruits of the Spirit would start to develop in your life. And you just be finding yourself, you know, and you know, there are some people, there are some ladies that every man wants to marry. They are just so nice, so fine. They have things, it's just like, oh, dropped from heaven. No, go and find out about them. They've had to develop themselves. Such a man has had to develop himself. There's nothing like just marriage or courtship made in heaven. It's because they've developed themselves and they are still developing and working on themselves and allowing the word of God to have impact upon their lives. That's what's going to bring about the fruits. Praise God. Everybody's quiet. So number one way to be sure that this person is marriable is if he's displaying. Is displaying, naturally displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Ah, my husband has come. I have 1 minute more. Praise God. Can I still go ahead? I have what? 2 minutes. All right. You know, last time I already mentioned one. Last time, what did I mention? Eh? Humility. I'm not going to spend so much time on that. Humility. That's actually part of the fruit of the Spirit too. A humble person. You know, when a man or a woman begins to feel so high about himself or herself by the reason of maybe a background or his background, what she has, a certificate, and togberu. Before you, she wants you to know that, did you go to which university did you? Oh, it's a guy. I told you that time now. That guy that used to come to our house when he's coming. The shoe, Italian shoe. Even if he didn't want to look at the shoe, the sound that the shoe had produced, you want to bend and say, but I will look, Mari will do by. I'm serious, I'm not exaggerating. The way we carried himself. And of course, when you greet him, hello, hi. You know, you are dating someone that he goes to see your parents. You know, they try to do all those things during traditional wedding, force you to prostrate. It's not part and parcel. That's why then I have to school them. At Madebel, when you say Baba me, you say Yami, you prostrate 3 times. All that. But it's part of things that you see in a life that is growing. A humble person. Jesus Christ, so humble. And is our Lord, is our Master. Can I take one more? Praise God. Let me just quickly take one more. Okay, which one should I take? Let's take this. One of the things you also look for that is very important. How the person responds to authority. Very important. How does she respond to authority? How does he respond to authority in his life? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's take a look at something there. Okay, no, 11. 1 Corinthians 11. No, I'm not getting it. Where is it? That the head of a man. 11. Okay, All right. It's 1 Corinthians 11. Okay. I was looking at 10. All right. 11. Look at verse 3. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is who? Huh? Christ." Actually, you can use that word, every man. What happened to the screen? Oh, I didn't even know. He says, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is what? Man. And the head of Christ is who? God." So can you see that hierarchy? That the head of Christ, you find Christ referring to God the Father and answerable to God the Father. Then it says the head of man or a married man is who? Christ, Jesus. And the head of the woman is who? The man or her husband. So if a man does not respond well to the authority above him, and you as a woman, you have to submit to such a man. Like my husband would say, you're going to have to submit to a headless man. A man that does not have any authority over him. Are you following what I'm saying now? A man, Yoruba will say, "Koni olubawi." Nobody can call him to order. Nobody can talk to him. That's one of the primary reasons why you cannot afford to marry an unbeliever. Somebody who is not born again, who has not come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. If I have any issue with my husband, I go to pray. God will talk to me. He goes to pray, or in his quiet time, God talks to him because God is his father. God is my father. So we have that in common. But for someone who does not have such, it's not that he doesn't even have such. Somebody else is his father. Because there are just two forces. Is that God? He's going to respond to God, or he's going to respond to Satan. That's just the truth. If someone is not going to respond to God, authority, now you take your Bible and say, Bible says, "Husband, love your wife." And he's going to say, "God, I want to please God." Such a person. That's God relationship. Then, how does she or he relate with his parents? With his parents. That's another authority in his life or her life. If you are cutting someone who says, that old school, that old man, that old woman, what can they tell me? Rubbish. One day, you're going to hear the same thing from him. That's the truth. I say, church says we should do this. We don't say, which church? Is it pastor that will marry for me? Is it pastor that's... That's an indication that person does not relate well. A relative, close relative one time was dating someone. And when I heard about, that's wahala. He's a firstborn. And he's always fighting with the father. To the extent that The younger brother that was obedient and responding to the father, as soon as he finished his school, the father connected him, he got a job, gave him a car. But this one that was always fighting the father didn't have a job. And it was the person he was dating that was trying to help him to get a job. I said, no balance. It's no balance. Why is he fighting his father? Why are they having problem? He's breaking a fundamental principle in God's word. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Not because they are perfect, not because they don't have, but that place of, there's a place of honor. When a man dishonors his father, talks anyhow to his father, relates anyhow with his mother, that's an indication that he's not going to respond well. He's not responding well to authority over his life. And such are the people that even if you marry and anything happens in church, they walk out of church. I tell ladies, if he doesn't come to church, there's nothing I can do. If she's not coming, there's nothing I can do because he's telling me that he's no longer under the authority of the church. So don't shut your eyes to such. Don't pretend that Steve is not a problem. It's a big problem. If a man does not respond well, especially men, even though it also applies to women, to ladies too. I've had to handle situations that, you know, the woman will just behave somehow and nobody can talk to her. Nobody can call her to order. Just, you know, cut off everybody. So who is going to mediate? Who is going to help you? Both of you, you are having a stone wall. So who is going to come in? So watch out is also an important part of what you look for. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 2. Romans 3, verse 2, it says this. Romans 3, verse 2. Much in every way, chiefly, no, Romans 13, sorry, 13:2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. There's the authority that God has put in place. Church, a pastor has authority over the members to declare the truth of God's word. Your parents, they have authority over your life. What? Your boss at work, yes. Your boss at work. You're under your place of work. Your boss is an authority over you. So when you find somebody always fighting, always rebelling against authority, such a person has a fundamental flaw. That, yes, he may not be against you now, but one day he's going to be against you. Because when the rubber meets the road, when there are issues and all of that, there are going to be problems. So, how do you get to know that one? The attitude. That person's attitude. Some ways of talking, some ways of behaving. That's way, not just, you know, the attitude. They just resent. Some people just resent. No, I don't want to have, my mother does not have, my father does not have, no. I can live my life by myself. I don't need their impulse. Pastor, the pastor also. That's another thing that you have to watch for. And as you're watching for that, it also means that you are also working and adapting yourself. You know, he says authority, they are ordinances of God. Nobody dropped down from heaven. The day you were given birth in the hospital, somebody had to carry you to the house, nurture you, helped you to grow to this level where you are. For you to not just say, it doesn't matter, treat them anyhow, you are working against the ordinance of God. They may not be perfect. Parents are never perfect. Just the same way you are going to find out one of these days too. Because your children will come. And you just know that, oh boy, so it is easy. It's very easy. It's not difficult. as you're working on yourself to align yourself, because the authority that God sets in places is for your good. But when you work against it, you say you're going to bring judgment on yourself. Praise God. Let me stop here today.
Good afternoon, everybody. You know I'm a pastor. What I do is to do some balancing for some. All right, thank you. It keeps varying. Okay, all right. Just pull me down. I've not been in the hall. I don't like them. It's still there. Please sort it down. Thank you. It's not the battery. It's not the battery. Okay, let me use this one. Okay, let me lock this one off. Okay. Where's the microphone? By the way, let's start like this. Nobody has all this together in your 20s. Are you hearing me? You hear what I just said? So don't think that, you know, that all this fruit of the Spirit is fully mature in somebody before you marry them. You wait till you die. I'll tell you the reason why. You cannot see everything in one person. Even now, I don't have everything myself. Are you hearing me? But Reverend Missy said, yeah, they have to give you the goal and the goalpost. You know, there's goalpost. If you go to football, there's goalpost, right? But you don't always score in the goalpost. If you score all the time in the goalpost, there'll be no football now. It's the struggle, the resistance of trying to reach the goal that makes you to become Division 1 or Division 2 or Division 3 league. Is that not true? Great. All right. So, let's talk about that. Now, let's talk about authority for meanwhile. Some authorities, they are... The reason why you should honor your dad and your mom, let's put Ephesians 6, verse 2. You see how it will tell on your life now. And I'm going to talk about the other side of the authority too. All right, let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 1, verse 2, quickly. This one sounds good. This one sounds good. They always torment me with this one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's children. You say, obey. But as you get older, obedience is no longer the father just handling you, move around. Mommy, move around, man. They start getting older. Look at next verse. Look, I love this one. Honor your father and mother, which is what? The first commandment with promise. So, why is this important? It's the promise you are after. Am I right? For instance, go through exam. I don't like it. I'm going to feel like exam. If you like exam, I need your help. I'm going to feel like exam. I'm going to feel like exam. But I'm going to feel like results. Good results. Good result comes through the bridge of exam. Now, the promise is what I'm after here now. And that's what will tell about your own life with that person you're going to live with. Look at next verse. It says what? That it may be well with you and you may live long. How many of you want to have a good life? Living well. Can I see your hands up? If I don't see your hands up, you need prayer. You want a bad life? No, I want a good, I want to live well. Second, how many people will live long? Of course, in Canada or US. All right. Now, see, those two benefits, they are futuristic. They are not about the past. If I want to live long, it's not past. I'm living. I want to live long in the future. Second, I want things well with me. Now, that will happen by honoring my father and my mother. So, if you want to really, now, please listen, everybody. Listen, everybody, listen to this. It does not mean that you always fully agree with your parent, but you honor them. You can't tell your parent to their face, "Emparejo." Now, I know he's telling lies, but you don't tell him to his face, "Emparejo." That is not honorable. That could be. Okay. Where is the thing? You took the money. I didn't take money, Dad. I didn't take money. Slap you. I didn't take the money. And then the father, the money was not taken. This father won't apologize to you if you notice. They just say, "Hey, when go work, Musa, we had the dilemma, lo." Dad, he say, "Sorry now." He will say, "Miss, sorry." So what do? You just honor them. You just honor them. Am I right? You know, like my mom now, she's net something now. My mother has net something now. When I was very small, she was big. Now she looks so small. You know, I just look at her. You know, sat beside me. She won't attempt to beat me now. She comes to respect me. She prays for me. And I just come to, you know, just pity her now. I just think about her. That's my mom. One time she was carrying me. Now she couldn't carry me anymore. And I'm always looking for a way to honor her. When she comes to the house, I want to prostrate for her. To let her know that this big boy is still her son. That's honor. Now, Pastor, my mom was never there for me. Now, return, don't return evil for evil. Return the good. Be there for her. Clap for your mom and dad. Clap for your mom and dad. Some of you, I'm not seeing you clapping. You are not honoring your parents. Clap for your mom and dad. I don't have daddy. I understand that. You have mommy. Mommy has done so much for you. Look at these ladies today that are single parents. Anybody here, you have single parents for your parents? How many of you are brought up by single parents? I'd like you to stand up, clap for your parents. Your mom or your dad alone brought you up. Can you stand up? I want you to stand up for your parents. For that, your mom, your dad, please clap for her better. Let's clap for your mom or your dad better. Thank you. My wife, dad died when she was 9, and my mom brought her up. Mama is in heaven now. I'm clapping for her. You know? So, that's honor. Why am I doing that? So I can live well and live long. I hope you get that. I hope you get that. So, that's important. Now, number two, about authority. If you say, anybody can talk behind the door. For instance, when you get a job, if the person doesn't like to obey authority at work, you will lose your job. And when you lose your job, something will attend to it, lack and shortage. Are you hearing me? And if anything you need for your future is a good job, am I right? Am I right? Somebody has to pay you, somebody has to take care of you at work. And when they say vamos, by the end of the month, salary won't come. I met a guy in South Africa. He was about 50 something. He has worked about 26 places. One thing you can be sure, he don't have any steady income in his life. So, workplace can be very hard, but you need it for life. Every good boss should appreciate the workers. I have some staff working with me in church. You never see me act like a boss. They come around, like now, I was gisting with some of them upstairs, we came down talking about some things. I get them along. Not all bosses are like. The average boss in Nigeria is a crazy guy. That's why Nigerian guys are very good, because they have crazy bosses. If you are going to be trained well, you need a crazy guy to train you. If a guy is too nice for you, you become a spoiled brat. When your guy says, go home anytime you want to believe it, you guys say, you go home, I sack you. You develop serious work ethic. And then you can now, after you have become your own boss, you can run your life. Now, if a guy keeps fighting boss and authority, he won't maintain a job. When he doesn't maintain a job, you go hungry all the time. That doesn't all go well. You won't have fuel for your car. You won't have solar on your roof. And your children will not have school fees to pay. So you need to have a steady job. Is that right? Somebody who's always contesting and fighting people won't maintain a job. And that's the reason why you have to look for that. I hope you are getting that reason why she said that. Is that all right? And somebody said, what about, the Bible says, the head of the woman is the man, the head of the man is the man, the woman, da, 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 da. That word, head over there, doesn't mean the one who pushes her around. It simply means this, that somebody, look at it, listen, if you look at the head, it is the hammer of the woman is the man, it is the hammer of Christ is God. What's the head? Look at the head. Okay, you can't see your head. You look at your neighbor's head. Tell him, be careful looking at my head. Tell him, look at your neighbor's head. Certain futures are common in all heads. Two eyes. Two ears. Nose. Two nostrils. One mouth. And then, brain. So, when we say the head, it simply means this. Somebody will look out for you. Oh, eyes. Somebody who listens to you, and somebody who can talk to you. Is that right? Is that right? You know, for instance, in our house, I am the head. I'm supposed to look out for them. I'm supposed to listen to them. They have something happen, okay, we'll take care of that. When there's a phone problem, my daughters will call me. Huh? For instance, you know, when their money is not enough, they will. That's the head. If you go to the village, you see the head carries load. So when you say, I'm the head of my wife, that means you are the load carrier. Huh? You are the one who thinks through how things will go, you know. So I'm the one who tells, okay, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with that? My wife will say, okay, let's talk about that. And then I give some orders and kind of try to get things done, looking out for their benefits. When you become the head, you lose your own identity. Okay. Laulu, stand up. This is Laulu's head. This is Laulu's body. What's this head for? Sorry for backing you on the head. You didn't comb your hair. That's his style today, right? Not combing is his style. Like your own. They don't comb. It's his style. It's really, you know, you guys are interesting. You know, I can do that. You know. Some of you, I won't do that for you too. I can do that with Laulu. He's my boy. I can fight him, do anything, make him to sit down. All right. See, this head over here, there's brain inside it to think. Can you imagine that this head, all it leaves was before the body? Every part of this body has a rep inside this head. Nothing moves in this. And that's all it works for. Your eyes don't work for themselves. Your ears don't work for themselves. They work for the whole body. Do you know that? If somebody dies and you cut off their head, it will be difficult to identify them. Except those who are very, very close to them and know the body marks they have. So the head gives to the body identity. In the Bible, they don't count women, they count men. They say 5,000 men and women. You know why they count men? Because men don't count. Because the men, when they count them, they are not counting them, they are counting their family. You know, to be honest with you guys, the greatest mission in marriage is to just give your wife the best of life.
What about me?
Big boy, take care of yourself. Christ will take care of you. God will take care of you. See, when I started doing that, that's what, I'm the caretaker of these people, God started taking care of me. He gave me the money to take care of them. That makes it sweeter. So, listen. Ladies, some of you, I know you are very strong, you are very powerful, you want to just carry everything for the guy, open the door for the guy, help him check the bonnet of the car. But, because what men can do, but it can be very tiring sometimes. How many of you ladies just want a guy just to carry you, just to take care of you, just to be there? How many of you ladies, can I see your hands up? See, I saw your eyes looking like this. You think I don't see you? But man, what about me? The joy, you know, the joy is in the house. Sometimes when you finish eating, I pack the plates. Serious. I'm the head. Pastor, you are mad. My father's house. You know, I just want to pack the plate and take it to the kitchen. Nothing wrong with that. You know, Nigeria today, we think that minister in the Bible doesn't mean minister. Like carrying back Bible. Minister means servant. So, you know, so I want her to be happy. I want her to do anything. I want to get her. Left to me, if you're going to get a car, you know the car I like? The one that you wind down like this. Because if computer go crazy, because they wind down. Every car we've got in our house, because of my wife. Are you hearing me? I just let her want to keep some kind of do something nice. That's the reason why. And I don't show anything that is nice. Like one guy said, we don't know whether reverence is rich or not. You don't have to know. I walk by faith, not by sight. But I'm not begging. So, guys, that's the reason why you are over. Now, let me close like this. This will help you. The fruit of the Spirit will never grow in a wrong environment. You see, you can't grow apple here in Abeokuta. It won't grow. That's why the fruit of the Spirit can actually work well when you have a good environment for it. And a church like this, where we encourage you, where we strengthen you. I know churches can be too authoritative. Like my wife said, the authority of the church. But the authority of the church is just like the head too. The pastors will be so the pastor must serve you too. Am I right? Am I right? And see, the evidence of a good authority is the liberty of the followers. Write that one down. The evidence of a good authority is the liberty. When you see somebody in authority over people, that okay, look at why do you want to go abroad? Why do you want to go abroad? Because there's a freedom higher there. Am I right? To do whatever, and you are enabled. You don't have to dig your own well, run your own lights, and do your own solar. They do those things. They mark out the ground for you. They give you the platform to move from. Am I correct? But in Nigeria, you are the minister of your own water, minister of your own light, minister of your own road. So the beauty of authority. So when I say I'm the head of something, I'm supposed to be responsible for that. So when you get to a church like this, listen to me. Everybody listen to me. I can say this with all sincerity. If you come here regularly and sincerely, when you marry, you won't be a bad guy. If you listen to what we're talking about over here, why? We are putting the seed of all of God in you. You can't have fruit without seed. If you just sincerely open up your heart and just be here, you may not learn so much, but if you just listen, be in this environment regularly. You know, just today I was hearing a doctor, the children are in Canada. They were around us in the church over here, so they went to Canada. The man was telling me today, he said, my kids are begging. I want to go back to Abeokuta. See, what you're just telling me today in the office. They wanted to go to good school abroad, kind of thing. He said, the daughter said, Dad, called Dad, said, Dad, just give me 1 week to go to Abeokuta. I just want to go down there. He said, what does he think? Can I borrow money? Because of the school system, the gender issue, they were not just comfortable with it. And they just want to... Now, these kids are... And then, so... The father not to them and said, look at... Every time will come and see my daughter. Can I promise that she'll come to our house? That will satisfy you. Mm-mm. Environment matters. When you have a place where you are helped, where you are strengthened, when you hear about patience, love, you see love demonstrated. You see, to be honest with you, we should not be talking about this in church. If our parents lead things well, they have good parents, they have good family, upbringing, something becomes second part of life. Are you hearing me? For instance, I didn't have to tell Sola to behave. Hello? Sit down, you guys. Sola, get up. I didn't have to tell Sola to behave. And you know, Sola is just nice. Am I right? Am I right? Vote for me now. Anybody, Sola has hurt you, taking away your money. If I see your hands up, I'll pay the debt myself. Sola's a gentleman. You know, he's just a nice guy. He just, over the years, that's evidence of growing up in a good home. Some of us didn't have that kind of chance. But church can do it for us if we just be here and relax and freedom given to us. So I will say this to you, that if you get a good church going and the guys face over there, now some churches today, they're full of be nice manner, stand up. Sit down. Now, when you go to a good church, for instance, some of us in the house we grow in, they are peace loving house. So we don't fight usually because that's our house. But some people are like Agbero kind of house. So when you get married, Agbero wants to continue now. You know, but you have to have a guy who can just kind of calm you down. But you see, no matter what you get to grow up with, when you get a good church going, it can make all the difference in the world. That's why I am struggling with all my ability, because your future depends on how we treat you now. Hallelujah. My kids have come to make me their friends. My wife, their friends, with our kids. Why? Because we don't want to impose a home that it's tough for them, that they can always come back and be there with us. Is that all right? And I believe that you do for your children in Jesus' name. Can you say amen louder? Amen. Beautiful. Now, let's say that's authority in that area. I hope you have gotten that. So, the fruit of the Spirit, and please, can I beg you, I want to ask for your age now. You should be less than 30. Yes, thereabout. Okay, you see, what he can do right now cannot be as much as fruitful what we can do at 55 or 60. On one condition, is in a good environment. I have known old people who are terrible, they are mouthish, and they are greedy. I met one recently. I was shocked to my bone. This old man, he was in his 80s. And he said to me, I said, Lagomelo, you know, learning what I know now, I don't want to be a poor old man. Are you hearing me? I don't know if I've met some old, rich old men. Rich women. I mean, if you met any rich old woman or rich men, old. They're so nice. They're so nice when they are rich. Huh? They just put you in their car, they give you money, you go to their house, you visit, they give you bundle of gift. What I want? Elo muwa for me. Give me a break, bro. So, that kind of a thing, it's quite good. So, but in church, we can learn it. So, that's why we are talking about ourselves, being nice to ourselves. All this fruit is grown up in church. Is that all right? Is that all right? So, keep growing and keep getting better. Now, please, can I drop this bomb? Anybody can marry anybody. Of course, chemistry will come in there. I understand that. But anybody can marry anybody if you're just nice to each other. That's all it entails. Yeah, am I right? Just nice. Just nice. That's what our parents worked on. See, if you're just nice to each other, you wake up every day to just want to bless, want to encourage, want to lift up. I want to stay in the house with you. But if you are always looking for how to be selfish, that's what, if you see all these homes that we are in today, there's some of them, angel praying, the guy that said that it was bad, if you choose to be good, to produce goodness, you will do that. My wife, those days, was nasty to me because I was nastier. But when you see, there's something that provoke good. See, if I walk in and I slap her, if I slap her now, something will come out of her too that is slappy. Or knifey or knife or something. But if I just come and I smile and say something, even if you don't want to smile, something will just kind of release inside of you. So in the same way, if you determine in your life that you're going to just be good, peaceful, patient, that person you're going to go out with may not have all that together, but just by you living like that can actually slow them down from doing the wrong thing and helping them to move ahead. Is that all right? Do we get that? Do we get that? People are not always bad. They usually give us back what we give them. Do we get that? So, I want to lay this foundation for you that it's important for you that start practicing this yourself and start working out love, joy, peace, meekness, and kindness. Now, let me close with this one. You must also learn how to resolve conflict. One of the greatest skills in going out with somebody to go to do marriage and later is learning to resolve conflict. If you don't know of that, even if you are an angel, you break up. In my younger days, I was mad. I would get mad when we enter conflict. But then one day I read, Jesus said this, conflict will always come. Are you hearing me? How many of you have beaten yourself before you are eating? You just bite yourself. Can I see your hands up? You never bite yourself. You guys never bite yourself. You are just super. But you see, that's your mouth biting your lips or biting something inside. But you don't say, okay, take out your tongue and throw it away. Yoruba says that. Can you come on, Baranwoja? So, learning to resolve conflict is the most important thing. For instance, just imagine you are going out with a lady. The lady said, oh, what happened? Oh, and then you walk away. You have not learned what they call conflict resolution skills. That can make you become better in anything. Learning to drop the guard and be the initiator. Particularly guys, every guy has to learn to initiate conflict resolution. Because that's you at the head. I mean, if I'm walking this way and I bump into this chair, Bosha, the next thing you say that, oh, you running. You challenge my head. Am I right? My head should take initiative to see that I don't run into a chair. So if I'm going out with somebody, I'm supposed to be the head of that relationship, I'm going to be taking care of that person, I should be able to see. Are you hearing me? So as a guy, you must learn how to resolve conflict. Over the years, this is my 30 years in marriage now, I've come to see that girls, you can win any girl back if you know how to resolve conflict. No. I'm not that girl. She's just mad. You should learn that. In my younger days, when something happened, I think this woman is going mad again. And I want to go out. And she will get madder. We are fighting, let me get out. You're not going anywhere. I didn't know that. I said, get away from me. I didn't know that. Get away. I never knew she was saying, if you get away, I'll kill you. Don't go anywhere. I didn't know. So, as guy, I just be looking at that like WWE United, you know? What's the problem? And I get mad too. And I start showing all kinds of things. And if I now slap her, everybody will hear in town. They don't even know what I did, what she did to that before I did kind of thing. So, the key thing over here is that learn to resolve conflict. Guys, train that. You won't be changing girls all the time. Oh, grandma, can you call? Go and visit her. Miss Lakufuwa, stay by the door. Me very easy. Worry me lonely. You can always break down the guard of any girl. Somebody said, Pastor, they are hearing you. Faith comes by hearing. They will let you come in more. Just get on there. Do you have any struggle with it? Huh? You guys are both nice. You're just nice. You're just two guys just like each other, you know. But I was a crazy guy. I was a mad guy, man. My name is Joshua. And Akintunde. Akintunde means the warrior has come. Joshua means the higher killer. He was the one who was killing people in the Bible. You know, I was an introvert and I had anger issue. Combined together, an explosion. You know, I can't talk very well. So, what's the key there? I learned to see that I must learn to take initiative. So, I'll fight and I'll go to and say, yeah, what happened? Let's talk about it. Then we close. It doesn't work out. I come back again and start working at it. Once in a while, I feel my duty. But I came to see that if you learn to come, oh, something happened, we went out, you didn't do it for me. As a guy, get angry. After that, go back. Before you know it, you can become a very good HR manager later. You know how to handle people well. So learn to resolve conflict. Don't turn every fight of your relationship to fight to finish. Some of you guys are starting out with somebody and you start having problems. Just calm down. Now, Pastor, what about if the guys are here and they're not hearing you? You initiate to call him up. Hello, how are you doing? I just want to sort out this matter. I don't want to hear anything. Leave me alone. Give me some few minutes again. Call back. I say, I want to resolve the matter. I am not doing with you anymore. Okay, you know what? Before we not do anymore, can we still be friends? I don't want to be friendly with you. People usually are hurt deeply when things like that happen. When you hurt somebody again and again and again and again, they get to a point because they are not God. They get mad. But you can always resolve yourself back. You can always go with rose, red flower, before, what do you call that now? Valentine or Avantini or something. Valentine, we'll go around there. So throw your, smash your face with the flower, pick it up. You say, you know what? I still love you. So you go and tell a friend, that guy is a crazy guy. Learning to resolve conflict is the most important thing you need in marriage. That will happen to your children. That will happen to your friends. Learning to resolve conflict. Don't always take it to the heart and fight everybody in town. You know, I discovered something last week that was really... Was it Thursday I went to go and preach at Obada? I just saw a guy. Oh, my heart broke. Was the nicest guy in the Bible. He was prophesied about before he was born. 400 years before he was born. And he was acting, doing well in everything he did. His name was Josiah. He reformed Israel. The last time of his, toward the end of his life, he was still living well, he was still a young person. And one king was passing by his border to go and fight somebody else. He said, you fight the king. And the king said, don't fight me. God is with me to go and fight where I'm going. He said, I'm going to fight with you. And he was shot dead there. And the whole land went into mourning and grief. Because he was so good, but he didn't know how to hold back himself from not fighting. And he lost his life. Oh man, I felt like crying when I read that story. It's a 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles. You can go and read it. He was the greatest guy. Almost was better than almost everybody else for what he did with Israel as king. But he wanted to fight. Don't start with fight in relationship. If you're going out with a guy, don't start fighting. When you go and you guys, let him say, yell, and you guys, hold him on. Shut up. You know, just cool. Is that all right? I said again, anybody can marry anybody. Anybody, provided the chemistry is there. Is that all right? Do we get that? Let's ask questions before we go. Beautiful. Feel free. Feel free. Ask me any crazy question about relationship. My wife is here. She has not gone. She's still going to preach somewhere else. Me, I'm free today. So, any question? Paper on paper. My girlfriend's always attacking me in the morning. Okay, the night before, always greet her. All kinds of things you can do. Let's ask questions. Papers are here. You can take paper and write down. Yes, the microphone. Thank you. Shola, come over here. Let's hear from this guy. Great.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon, church.
Anyway,
thank you very much, sir.
Great. You're welcome.
Basically, I personally observe something.
What's that?
In trends when it comes to relationship and marriage these days.
Yeah.
And that is why some pastors will tag men as traditional.
Okay.
Why they see women as modern. I just need clarifications. What's the clarification between a good Christian marriage and a modern marriage? Because this is
a
modern marriage.
A modern marriage. Okay.
Let me use the case study of the West. Because people in the West, we Nigerians, so to speak, we are so wired to thinking that most of the things that we see from the West are actually normal. That's why even some people in relationships will feel like, I must marry based on my zodiac signs, Pisces and all that. So, basically, clarifications from a good Christian marriage.
Beautiful. What a lovely question. You know, I was hearing a guy, I think African Union, discussing. He said about 200 years ago, the Western world came to Africa and they saw our ladies dress like this, only cover this place and cover here. And he said, they are not well dressed. They are not decent. And they cover them with clothes. Now, they are going naked now. So, hello? It was an EU, it was not a Christian meeting. It was an EU meeting, you know? And he said, are they saying that we are better off than them? Where were they came in that time? I mean, when we were looking naked, only cover this place, they said we should dress up. Now, they are going to that way now. Are we really right at the beginning? Let me say this very clearly. The Western world, something has happened to the Western world. The Western world is breaking away from all its biblical basis. That's a deliberate, intentional fight against the Christian foundations in the West. See, all this homosexual transgender is a deliberate act to rebel against whatever is in the Bible. You don't understand the gender thing. It's actually, when they said that we can change our male or female, they were actually, those guys sat down that let's look at what Bible says and attack it on every side. Bible says God made them male and female, so they said let's also break that. So you notice that in recent time they are attacking anything religion because of that reason. They said religion produced slavery and women subjugation. So what else can they offer us? And that's true. Religion has used its power to oppress people. So, but Christianity is not just religion. I hope you are listening. So the modern life, the Western world we are looking at today, they are breaking off from the Christian foundation their fathers had laid for them. For instance, now, like honesty. You go abroad, I went to go and buy water somewhere. They were telling me which water to buy. The human nature does not want to be honest. But their parents and their grandparents had taught them that way. They've had their basis in Christian life. Their philosophical basis. Look at today, democracy, which has three arms of government. What's judiciary, legislature, and executive. It came from the book of Isaiah, where God was called the lawgiver, the judge, and the king. That's where they got those ideas from. Liberty for all is never part of the human race. You go to any country in the Middle East or Far East, there's no liberty. The fundamental human right came from the Bible because God put value of his own image on human race. And they are breaking that all over. So the Western world is already moving away from that. They have captured the universities. They've captured, you know what? You won't believe that. Harvard University was a Christian school, like Covenant University. So you will not believe that. And then they kept moving away from that Christian foundations, thinking that Christianity is making people to become stupid and idiots. And God, particularly women, are rebelling against that and things like that. So that's what's happening today. That's what they call modern. So modern life is a life that is rebelling against God. Now, there's what they call modern life, like technology. Those are still good. But you know what? Even good technology. Technology is what? Discovering what is in nature already. Am I right? And putting them together. We don't rebel against nature technology. We are using nature to produce all those things you are seeing. Am I making some sense? All the things you see around you today, they are from nature. And day and night, we are studying nature to make things better. Am I making some sense? You will not believe this, that actually they studied bats to know how to control planes in the air. Amazing. You know why? Because bats don't have eyes. And they fly in the night accurately. So they spent billions of dollars from NASA to extract from them how to fly a plane in the air. Can you imagine blind bats teaching us eyes open? So that's what happened over there. Technology, science is there. But nobody ever rebelled against nature in science and get away with it. Like now, you say you want to jump down. You don't believe in the law of gravity. In nature, you don't break the law. The law breaks you. But now, they believe that everything is now relative. Now, when you have a modern mind of that not taking the biblical basis, you cannot function well as a Christian. The trouble we have today is that many of us have Christ in our heart, but the modern thing in our mind. So it doesn't have to. For instance, now, love is no longer modern. I mean, why should I slave for you? Why should I lay down my life for you? Why should I sacrifice for you? Why should I die for Nigeria? Nigeria is a crazy place. I mean, why should I have children? It will scatter my life. But for the first time, thinking like that will stop the next generation. Look at abroad now. Why are they asking us to come? In the 70s, they said there will not be food for all. I was there in the 70s and 80s. They were saying that population crisis is coming. We should not have children. Our parents refused to listen to them. But they listened. Now, there was a village I read about 5 years ago in Germany. They have never seen a baby in the last 23 years. There was no school. The last secondary school in Japan was pulled down about 2 or 3 years ago. Nobody goes to school anymore as secondary school in Japan. They are all old. Now, who will maintain them? Who will pay the bills? Who will do the productive working thing? And for the first time, Africa, that didn't obey them that time, had this massive young population. We are now the HR of the world. And listen, Africa is going to become one of the biggest places in the world for where they can get laborers and workers. And we are getting trained, man. You know what? You don't know. You are really privileged to be a Nigerian going to school in Nigeria. You don't pay much. I said, you go to private school. That's your parents' choice. But you go to university over here, how much do you pay? 160,000 a month. And you start carrying placard. 150,000. Oh, we're not going to pay. See, when you go abroad, when you study medicine, you have a debt of $250,000 on your neck. So when you come out, you pay debt all your life. You go to class and study any kind of course, sociology. Huh? What else do you study? You study all mass comm. What else do you study? Huh? Mathematics. What else do you study? Social studies. Religious knowledge. They might not even pay you anything, but just go study. Or, you know, biology. No, biology is different. What's the other one you can give me? Pastoral something. Pastor, I said, what's that one? He said, it's for feeding animals in the bush. Because for 5 years. But are you going to school, you come out, and you have a BSc. Do you know what? If you get a BSc or a BA, you are in the top 10% of the world. What did I say? So Africa, we are really blessed to go to school abroad. We said, I'm going to UK. My children go to UK. They have free secondary education. They are waiting for you in university. You're going to pay. Is that all right? So let's get our education here and get some top level and get a job. Nigerians are performing everywhere. Great. Clap for Nigerians, man. They do quite well everywhere. Get that? This place is just too noisy with all this Tinubu and Co. God will help us. But what I'm saying to you today is that prepare yourself and get ready. The Western world is crashing. It's growing old. They are living on drugs. I was in London one time. A guy was carrying me in taxi. He said, man, we are all sick here, man. We are all tired here, man. We just eat our food, even our food pack. The guy said, Caribbean. He said, you know what? Every year, I escape to Caribbean because this place is bad, man. It's too cold, man. I just listened to him. But I tell him, why is he staying here? He's still the Luoba now. You get that kind of thing? So that's it. And so the modern life, let's take the good one. Let's take the phone and leave out the other struggle that is spoiling their life today. You know that it was in our villages, when you wake up in the morning, people are greeted very well. Prostrate. It's in GRE that you'll be looking at your uncle like this. Your uncle say, oh, Kimini. Uncle, what do you say? You know, so things like that. So let's the Christian marriage, you say you're still traditional, you believe in the old school, huh? Yeah, as we begin to grow older, you actually come to see that we should become more stable. Am I right? You know, one of the things please, you can marry if you want to marry. If you don't want to marry, but the trouble is that if you don't want to marry, when you get old, there'll be nobody around you. You can have all the money. Anyway, you can adopt. There are many children that want to be adopted in Africa. They won't mind at all. But you see, we have family to have people close to us. So if you don't want to marry, no problem. That's all right. But marriage, like they did in the Western world now, they are not marrying anymore. And that actually caused trouble for them. They are not having children. You can see a whole city like that, almost all old. Pastor, what about the money to take care of them? Let me tell you a story. When I had our first child, my wife liked children because there were only two for my own family. My father had six or seven wives. Children were barogudu. You know the meaning of that? If I had fertility problem, I won't pray 1 minute. I got children too much everywhere. So my wife said, I want children. I said, no. But looking back now, it's just beautiful to have people around you. Oh, they will go away anyway. Everybody will go away. So I'm saying today to you that they are getting away from the Bible and it's paying us a lot of costs. A lot of costs. I mean, can you imagine that they said girl is a girl, can be a boy. The trouble is that the boy now will go and become a girl and join them in the competition for running 100 meter dash. And when he becomes a boy, when he becomes a girl, the testosterone system inside is vain. So when the girl do like this, the boy is gone like a flash. And then these boys are crazy. They are claiming they are girls. They enter girls' toilet to rape the girls. Huh? So that's what we are facing today. It's a world that is really difficult today, but that's why I'm asking you to do something more than just usual. Start reading the Bible yourself. Don't be told. Particularly the New Testament. These guys will tell you, one verse in the Old Testament, one can go. Read new first. There's two, that's old and the new. If I give you phone, you say, this old phone, that's 310, and this is a new phone, S23, Samsung, which one will you pick? Sometimes you need to look at the old to learn something from the new, but actually you need the new more than anything else. Is that all right? Thank you. Okay, beautiful. Any more question? Yeah, let's have one. Oh, you have a question? Yeah, great. Beautiful. Let's have one from paper.
Okay. This person says, good afternoon, sir.
By the way, my first daughter, when she got to a particular point, said, Daddy, I just wish my parents could sit down. Our parents could sit down with us and show us how to be guided having children. The trouble is that some parents just want money. So they are not even thinking about your life. You know, yeah. Let's.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You said anybody can marry anybody.
Yeah.
But I've heard some preachers say that because somebody is good, that doesn't mean you are meant to marry each other. You have to fast and pray to get confirmation from God to be sure you both are destined for each other. Is this true, sir?
That pastor, when the wife dies, remember somebody else? Huh? When the wife dies, does he marry somebody else? I know some of my friends. The wife died after a year. One stayed for 2 years. They marry him. That was not destined. That was destined. Huh? Now, I'm not saying you should just marry anybody. But what I mean is that anybody can marry anybody. I mean that potentially, if we develop, God won't be looking for somebody to join somebody else. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? We will give less trouble to God trying to matchmake if we are actually having, you know, God said to Samuel, go to the house of Jesse and pick one of the boys as king for me. Remember that story? Why did God have to do that? Because guys are not serious. They only pick the first one. But God said, you know, this guy inside, you know, no fit. So I have to start looking for, finally got one out of the 7, 8. That's the problem. When I say anybody can marry anybody, I mean potentially that we can work, if we are working on ourselves. Now, all this thing about destiny of somebody to marry somebody, people have heard that they had prayer and fasting, and they saw angel brought them together. And 5 years later, angel came to cut the thing. They always have a vision for how to cut the thing back. But if you have a sense that we want to live together, we don't want to break because of our children, and we are going to cope, and we are going to change, we are going to go to church and get counseling, better. And just be thinking that people, you know, that kind of thing, you just... Okay, I do that. That's God's destiny for you. I do that. That's God's destiny for you. Those pastors themselves, they fight among themselves with their wives. I know some of them. They will tell them that it's not your wife. But this pastor, I know one pastor. Oh, God. Oh, God. I got this guy who came to town. His wife, I met him. The wife just delivered. They are having some struggle. And they got about 6 or 7 kids. And later the man said that that's not his wife. That the wife is debarring his blessing. I move out of the house. Some of us have to start struggling to see that the family leave. Even if it's not your destiny, there are destined 7 children. Who will feed them? Pastor, you see all the churches, those days, two churches, I said they do restitution. Pastor married 3 wives. They said, throw away the 2 wives and have only one for yourself. Which one? He says, the first one. The guy said, I don't like her. That's what I'm married to. Now listen. I know somebody years ago. The husband married her, and the church said he should do restitution and throw her out. She ran mad. She wound up in Aru. The children were struggling through life. So I will say this, that a lot of things, actually, I'm going to say this again. If we plan to marry and do ourselves good, there's no limit to that. I will go for further degree. I will change myself. I will do anything that we can have this thing to grow. But many of us have been taught as a me generation, my life, my future, me. So you don't actually think of other people. The Bible says, Agbajowo, Lafi Soya. You just only me alone. It won't do. You should be out caring for the other person, ladies and gentlemen, to everybody. Let's do that. Is that all right? Now, somebody said, you have to fast and pray. Now, show me one person in the Bible who fast and pray to get a wife. Who can tell me? Let me tell you, these pastors that we have today, they are lazy. They turn every problem to hunger strike. Hunger strike is a way to persuade bad authority to change their mind. So God has become a bad authority to a lot of these pastors. They think that when I punish myself for 100 days of fasting, Oluwa, to bati enikanu, ikanya bota dia for me, anwa wonue. That's a bad way to see God. I mean, if you have good parents here, Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you say, before I eat breakfast, I must fast? Before I get money, I must fast. Your parents need help. Are you hearing me? I'm not against fasting, but please listen to this. You don't have to fast and pray to get something from God. Your father is out there caring for you. Have that basis first. The reason why we fast and pray is to be able to get ourselves together, to concentrate. How many of you, when you are having an exam, you eat all the food that's available to you? Don't worry, they'll take care of that. I think it's the fan is off, so you have to suffer. The power is out for. Can we cook? I like the sand. Oh, that fan just stopped. It's a beautiful sand. But the heat is coming. Okay, they'll take care of that. Instead of just put on the smallest gen to run the stuff. So where did I stop now before the main thing? Huh? During the exam. You see, you don't eat because you want to concentrate. Actually, if I tell you about fasting, God will want you to fast so you can give out the food you are not eating. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear that? Did you hear it? God wants you to fast so you can give out the food you are eating that you not eat that time. Man, we fast to keep the food later. Carol will big time. Can you imagine that? Be with us. They will take care of it in a few minutes. All right, so please, now, nobody fasted to get a wife in the Bible. Even Abraham told the guy, I know God of heaven will take care of that. Now, when I say prayer and fasting, I mean that maybe you want to take it seriously, God. I really want to pray. Particularly, guys should be doing that more. Guys should be the one that say, Lord, I want to know who to marry. I'm not having any. I want to focus and concentrate. Is that okay? There's no place in the Bible where they give three people's names to a prophet. Prophets are bad way of getting married. I can tell you. One guy, prophet Mariam, when they start fighting, prophet couldn't settle it. There's no place in the Bible, it's African occultism, that says you should bring three names. Tola, Shola, Jola. Like she said. That's not the one I recommended for you. I can tell you a story in this town. I got a friend, a pastor in town. The wife came to me. These guys, they are no more doing paper now, name three names. They are now doing family gongong. This guy went to go and pray on the mountain. And this prophet said, you are not married. He said, I'm married. I have three kids. He said, it's not your wife. He said, I have her at home. He said, it's not your wife. You should get AK-47 and blow him out of space. I don't know about you, how children grow in that kind of environment. Do you know what? He went home, brought his wife. And the wife said, I'm the wife. He said, you're not the wife. Some of these guys, they are too bold. They should be locked up in Kirikiri and throw away the keys. Though they are my colleagues. They don't know God. They just know they are old babalawo that just transformed. Do you know? He said, this is my wife. They said, it's not your wife. And man started thinking about changing his wife. Won't you think of changing your wife? These men are bad, you know. When you have a wife at home, he said, getting older now. You like next looking. So the wife came to me and he said, Egbami. I said, God will help us. So one day the man came to my office. Pastor, thank you for you. I said, you're welcome. He said, can you give me a book to read? I said, Olomu. I have one book on marriage that puts you together very well. I took the book. I said, read down. I didn't say the wife came to see me for anything. He came back and said, hey, God help me. I said, what happened? I said, I didn't do anything. Oh, Pastor, you do like that too. I'm a human being like you. He said, God help me. One prophet said, I should tell you my wife that helped me to build my house. My wife that helped me to build my house. I said, He said, I'm going back by my wife. I said, I feel like telling me, let's get handcuffs. Let's go to the mountain. Hand up that prophet. Lock him up in prison. I'll give you the DSS. It's a threat to national security. It's destroying the future of children. Are you? Is that all right? Yeah, let me have the question over here. I hope this one be for my wife.
Okay, yes, it's for Reverend.
Oh, great, beautiful.
Okay. Someone came to me last week to ask for advice. From what she told me...
You're on the counseling ministry.
From what she told me, it's obvious guy is cheating on her and they are tending towards marriage. I didn't want to tell her, leave this guy, find someone better. So I just
I don't get it.
Okay.
You know the guy?
No. From what she told me, it's obvious... obvious that the person is cheating on her.
Cheating on her?
Yeah, and they are tending towards marriage. I didn't want to tell her that, okay, fine, break up with this person, you see someone else. But they would say, I do something. I'm avoiding that.
Yeah, it's coming.
What I told her was that if, ask yourself, if you can stay with a cheating man, you can go ahead. But if you cannot, you know what to do. So I don't know if there was a better advice that you have given to her.
Okay, all right.
Okay, you told her that if she can live with a man that
cheats.
What do you mean by cheats? Is obviously, examination cheating?
No. Obviously, he's having sex with other women, and he's in a relationship with my friend. So.
I think your friend too is having sex with him. That one is basic. That's one of the reasons why fornication has a way of tying you down as a lady. Once you start having sex with a man, it becomes almost impossible for you to break away from that person. You want to think about the fact that, you spent 2 years, 3 years in this relationship. Is that how you're going to end? Apart from the emotional attachment. Fine. You told her, if she's ready to live with such a man, you know, I told you, it's a matter of choice. If she decides to marry such a person, then don't now get married and start complaining that he's having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 girlfriends outside. So, if you are in a relationship with someone and you know other girls that are in that, there's trouble. I've seen it before. That someone is in a relationship. They want to get married. And the lady knows 1, 2, 3, 4 other ladies. So it became a competition of who is going to win. He was asking about Christian marriage. That's just like a secular thing that happens out there. But for us that say we say we follow Jesus Christ, fornication and adultery, Bible says, shouldn't be mentioned amongst us as followers of Christ. I think you have given her the right counsel. But let me say this generally to everybody, and perhaps anybody watching online. Try to go a bit above yourself to seek for counsel. When you ask your peers, sometimes ago I was talking with someone, she said, I have two set of people that give me counsel. One is older. One is my peer. And my peer will always tell me, well, I don't want to, what do you feel? You know, just like the friend tries to, not to say that, this is that. And your peers may not even know as much as they should in order to counsel you. So if you're in a relationship, that's why in church we have relationship team. We have other people that you can walk up to and say, this is what I'm going through. This is a relationship. And open it. One of the things I've found out is when you are in a relationship and you begin to cover and hide, it's because you know that something is wrong with that thing. Something is going on wrong. So you cover. Sometimes they go, some people went through counseling. And they said during counseling, when they asked the guy was there, the lady was there. When they asked questions, the lady will quickly answer. And the guy kept quiet. And it was just a matter of, you know, time. Everything blew up in their faces. So please, I'm begging you. Bible says when you don't allow things to come to light, it's because there's darkness. And in darkness, all kinds of things can work there. In as much as you are not going to be reporting but anything that begins to trouble you and you are having to go to this and that to seek for counsel, what should I do? What should I not do? And all of that's already a trouble, you know, brewing. So speak it out. One of the errors of our generation is they told us then, don't allow third party. You must be able to settle your problems. Don't allow a third party. Don't tell anybody what is going on.
So when we had problems, we were ashamed. We thought that it was a shameful thing or embarrassing to seek for counsel. No. Solomon said, in the multitude of counselors, what's there? Safety. Safety.
And one of the biggest, like I said again, the guy who asked about the modern life today. You see, we are having this battle because the modern world, the Western world, says that sex is just sex. That's where it's portrayed. In fact, they're about to start putting it into competitive game now. And these are the world we live in. And we that are young people today, we are interconnected with our phone. We can see what's happening anywhere in the world. So I would say that that is also the root of that modernity of the Western world getting away from. But like I said again, one of the best things to do is to get where the environment, where the fruit of spirit can grow. I hope you are making some sense. Please don't tell everybody what you are going through, but find people who are credible to talk with. Is that all right? And we are here. In fact, we are going to have a program on Sunday called Paradigm Shift for singles that are a little bit older. If you are 25 and above, come for the program by 4 o'clock here next Sunday at 4 p.m. We'll finish early and talk about marriage and money. That's a good one. Because they seem to go together. Remember that I was getting married. They were singing one song. Say, gudu gudu meji. Have you heard that before? Gudu gudu. I said, which was gudu gudu? Osu. 7 times. Okay. All right, beautiful. We'll do that. Any other question? Yeah, let's hear that one.
So, this question is for Reverend Mrs. Elizabeth. Beautiful. Asking. She said,
I can go home. Why do you say no?
In a relationship, both parties were cool with each other and the vibe and energy was there. But eventually,
say that the other again. Parties, say, come again.
Okay, in a relationship, both parties were cool with each other.
They were cool.
And the vibe and energy was there.
The vibe, the energy. All right. But these are modern times.
But eventually, the other party started sulking. And there is no more vibe and energy from him. But he is still claiming he is still in love with her. What should I do?
Praise God. Vibrate more. My husband said you should vibrate more. You know, this is scientifically proven. When you fall in love, in quotes, there's a particular hormone that is released that keeps that vibe, that keeps the energy, and it's good. God created it. But it's not supposed to. It cannot, there's going to be a winding down of that hormone. Are you listening? For you to keep that level for life, you will die. It's not possible. It will wane. And what you now need to do is to practice practical love, the fruit of the spirit. And that's what will bring back those feelings. Are you following what I'm saying? When I'm practicing good towards you, good actions, good thoughts, you know, and my spouse is doing the same thing, we're going to still feel in love. I told you I woke up this morning. Give me my phone. Practical. I woke up this morning. And when I was cutting my husband, it was poem, 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 poem. Talk, 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 like you are talking about now. Vibe. Energy. But where we miss it is when we think that energy is going to be sustained by itself. That hormone would go down. It's just like the hormone. If somebody comes in now with a gun, what will happen to all of you? Even if you were sleeping, you will rush out. Adrenaline will come. PM, and you will find yourself on the other side of the road. But can you imagine if the gun is not chasing you 24/7? That's what happens when you are in a stressful relationship, stressful work. Adrenaline is continually released. So you'll be feeling stressed and stressed and stressed. So there's that hormone that makes you feel good, that makes your heart skip, that makes you, all right. But how do you keep that hormone again and again? Okay, my husband sent this to me. He woke up. I will read it so that they will know. Because marriage is work. Marriage is work. Okay, my husband said, I'm an obedient wife. Okay. He said I should not read it. How many of you want me to read it? So drop $1,000. Alright, he said, glad to have you in my life. Glad to celebrate life together. Hand in hand, heart to heart, step by step. So how will not the vibe come back? It's words.
What time did I
say? Actions. He sent it 0508. Yes. And he was busy preparing for service. You know, for a man of God to send this on a Sunday morning. Do you understand what I mean? And that's what people stop doing after they get married. When they get married, they just think that, you know, for a man, it is, I am married. Seat. Oh, it's a good major in your wedding. I was looking at a couple. I was in a wedding yesterday. I was looking at the couple. They dance and dance and dance. I said, well, I'm not around. And, you know, incidentally, it's an intertribal marriage. And the lady is going all the way to Abia from Ogun State. I looked at that and said, I pray that this guy would treat her well. And I pray that this girl too would, you know. But that vibe, the only way to sustain it and keep it going is to do good. Bible talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. Said she has sworn, I'm going to do you good all the days of my life. You are seeking for ways and means to do it right. And the man is going out of his way to make life comfortable and easy for the wife. Why won't the vibe be? The vibe will be, it will be resurrecting every now and then. But when you feel that, you even find women that say, what's the family, you saw me before you married me, that's where I am. Yeah. He has given me full permission. So, hand in hand, heart to heart, step by step, through the mountainous valleys, with God's word in our hearts, circumstances and situations bowing to us in his name, all we know is that tomorrow can only be better. Then he puts je t'aime. That's the French word for I love you. Okay. You know why that makes meaning? My husband grew up in Ivory Coast, where they spoke French. So when we were courting, that's what he used to tell me. 30-something, almost 38 years ago. Je t'aime. And you know what? Je t'aime, whatever you call it, there is. And if you want to say, that's what I picked out of that. And I put love, because I remember, oh, je t'aime. I still have a meeting 4 o'clock.
Bye-bye, can we go in? Thank you. All right. Okay, let's get back to normal now. Yeah. What's your question?
Please good afternoon, go. Church.
Good afternoon, guys.
Yeah.
Is that so Ibrahim?
Yes, sir.
Is that Ibrahim? Thank you. All right.
Yes, sir. So I have a question, sir.
What's your question?
Is it possible for a woman to be with a man who is not our spouse, who is not meant to be our spouse?
Okay.
Why I want to ask is that in the book of John.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
that's a nice one.
So when he was telling the woman that you have been with 5 men,
and the man you are staying with now,
your husband.
Now, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's
I tell you, read the Bible. You know, a lot of things for you. You know, I don't use King James. It just makes life difficult for you. It's just this common thing. See, Jesus met the woman. What's up? I'm having all kinds of things happening because this service is getting too long. All right. I always enjoy your service. No matter, I preach first service, I preach second service, and I'm here, still alive and well, enjoying myself. Baladi, are we okay? We are not okay. I didn't hear you. You don't know. I better drop the microphone and get out of this building too. Maybe by time is gone. Where's the question now? Yeah. You know, Jesus was meeting this woman and was talking with this woman, and he said, woman said, go and call your husband. I said, I don't have any husband. That talks about our generation today. Jesus said, you are right. I found that. You are telling the truth. You got five husbands before. And the one you are staying with is not your husband. Right off the bat, he just told me that she was a very pretty lady. She must be a pretty lady. Very pretty lady. For her, she was very charming. To marry the first one, drop. Second one come, drop. Third one came, drop. Fourth one came, drop. Only corny. And then the fifth one came and dropped. And the sixth one came and said, Mba, I just not going to be, I'm not going to marry you. She must be, maybe Miss Samaria. Something like that. But Jesus said to her, the one you are staying with now, so see, we are coming now to a world where people don't want to sign paper anymore. They don't want to marry anymore. Because when there's no trust, you don't want to put your life. For instance, Boris Johnson had a girlfriend through his time in the office. So we have the prime minister and false girlfriend. Then he changed his mind and married the girl. I don't know whether they are divorced now. Today we live in a world where people are no longer trusting anyone. So I don't want to go do something because think about Bele, Kalamanya Dressy. And that's just speaking about our hearts. So that's what we face today. People are dropping marriage. In fact, one guy I was in a meeting around Onikolobo, he said, can I be honest with you, Pastor? We guys are going to guys now for homosexual because we notice that our parent heterosexual marriage is not working. So if girls to girl, boy to girl, we don't know ourselves, we know boy now, and girl no girl now. That's what is happening today. The revolt against marriage is not because marriage is bad, it's because the participants in the marriage are making it looking as if it's not good at all. Is that all right? And living together can cost you your life in the sense that I know a guy who came to our church years ago and was living with this guy. Are we okay? Okay, was living with this guy for 16 years. This guy was living with this guy. Listen, lived with this guy for 16 years. And one day the guy just got up, walked away from her, took another girl to the altar and married her. That girl he married died later. Wow. So that's what we are facing today. And you know, my desire is that when I come to this meeting, you guys will marry and then work out things quite well. And I'll just be there encouraging you. James is not around this morning. He had to follow his wife to the park so that I can get to. So he sent me a text this morning and said, Reverend, we couldn't get vehicle from here. It says coming from Lagos, we have to join at Sagam. I have to go down there in the morning. I said, it's all right. That's married life. It's making some adjustments. Is that all right? Is that all right? Great. Beautiful. Yeah. One more question. Great.
Yes, sir. This question is on tithing.
Tithing. Well, 10%. Yeah.
Person says, how many times should a person pay tithes in a month? Especially if you make money weekly.
Sometimes some questions just make you to start to wonder. I guess this person is a salary-based economic kind of person where I grew up that. Every month you bring your tithe. Like my mom had a tithe when I was my father's house. My mom had a tithe card. And they write over there, January to February to March to April to May to June. And my mother was giving the same amount of that all the years ago. It was Ivory Coast money. Let's talk about tithe for a few minutes. Let's go to chapter 3, Proverbs. Give us on the screen. I want you to see something a little bit different from what you have been seeing. You know, there are two categories of people today. Tithe is compulsory. Tithe is not important. But I would say I'm at the middle where, what about tithe? What is it for? Listen to me, everybody. The law of Moses was not the point of discussion about tithe. Who can tell me who tithe first in the Bible? Abraham. Who? Who can tell me? Abraham. Now, Abraham was the first one to tithe in the Bible, and there was no law asking him to tithe. Are you hearing me? Are you here? There was no law asking him. He determined to tithe. Something must have happened to him, between him and God. Why? Why did he tithe? He went to war. His cousin was captured, and he had to go and fight for him. And while he was coming back, a priest of God called Melchizedek. I've never heard that name before. Bible said he was fatherless, motherless. He didn't know which father, he didn't know which mother. He was a priest of God forever. And then he met him, and what he did first was to bring bread and wine and shared with Abraham. And then he blessed Abraham. And Bible says, Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Then we didn't hear about tithe again until his grandson called Jacob. And Jacob was going away. While he was going away, are you hearing me? He encountered God in a dream. And he said, God, if you say you're going to bless me, multiply me, I'm going. If I come back intact and blessed, I'm going to do three things. Number one, I'll make this place your house. Number two, I'll give tithe of all. And number three, what did he say? I don't remember that one right now. So, you can see that again. Now, I'm going to follow Daddy Freeze. Daddy Freeze, who came up with tithe problem. I wish I had time to sit down with Daddy Freeze. But, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to get involved in it. Daddy Freeze read a particular place in the Bible that they were eating the tithe. They would turn it to money and buy drinks, food, and they will sit down and they will eat. And they say, yay, Nigerian church, they take tithe. We should be eating the tithe. I will have shown him more in the Bible about tithe and just sit down like friend, but it has become a big fight among pastors. We will curse you. Don't take that. Don't be bad. That kind of fight, I don't get involved. I just mind my business. It was quite right. They ate their tithe. It was in the Bible. They ate their tithe. God gave them three types of tithe. You see, now they became a nation. They have priesthood formed. Are you following me? Under the order of Aaron. Are you following? Or you are tired? Under the order of Aaron. When they became a nation, before there was a family, Abraham started it, it's Isaac, Jacob, down the line. But then, now they now became a nation, and God said they should institute priesthood. Who will take care of religious service? Are you hearing me? And God said they should do three types of tithing. They should take 10% of their earnings and give it to the priesthood, the Levite, along with it. Then he said, take another tithe, take it to the temple, and get it together. If you are quite near the temple, take the produce. But if you are far from, if you are coming from Jigawa now to Lagos, there's a temple, turn it to money, get to Lagos, buy anything you want to eat, sit down and eat and enjoy yourself. Okay? And God said, another tithe. Every third year, take that tithe that you get and put it aside for the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, the priest, the Levite around your house. Do you get that? So they are actually paying about 23% as tithe. If we take that 3 years tithe divided by three, that's 1 year, they give 30% of it. No, 3% of it. Is that clear? Do you get that kind of thing? So they are giving tithe to the priest, Levite. They are giving tithe to take together to eat. Huh? They have tithe, they lay aside for the poor, widows, and fatherless. That's what was given to the nation. Are you hearing me? Is that clear now? Now, when Jesus came, he came here under the Old Testament. He grew up under the Old Testament. He went to the temple. And the Pharisees were busy giving tithe, but not living the virtuous life. They were too busy about collecting tithe. Jesus was attacking them that you will look for money from the temple. You will say the temple is made only by the money. They were lovers of money. Now, we now came to the New Testament and we saw that after Christ rose from the dead, God made Jesus a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus did the same thing that Melchi did. He brought bread and wine, remember? The communion. And now, we are also called Abraham's seed. Am I correct? Now, we are not tithing like the house of Israel. We are tithing based upon the blessing of Abraham. And we are not tithing because we are forced. We are honoring God with it. Now, so one permanent thing goes through that whole story. What is the story about? What is the import of the story? This is the point of the story. You must take time out to honor God. You know what we do in this church? This is interesting. I now ask myself, how can we make this all comprehensive? How can we eat our tithe, give the tithe to the poor, and also give the tithe to those who are working in church? That's why you eat in the service. So you are eating your tithe. If you give tithe over here, the food you are eating comes from that money you are giving. There's no somebody, we don't have anybody sponsoring the thing. So whatever you give, we take from there. And we eat our tithe. On October 1, we all came to church and ate rice and malu. We took part of that money and we did so that the priest wouldn't fight us. Are you hearing me? We are doing that. We also take money for single parent widows and stuff in church. We help those who are older. We have older men of God that we are supporting and encouraging them. That's why we are blessing this church. Are you hearing me? We do that. God wants us to love God and love ourselves. Is that all right? Do we get that? So that is the essence. God is teaching us something from there. Some of us even give more than our tithe here. Are you hearing me? Because we think God needs more money and we can do that. I don't feel like saying this, but I usually give 30% of my money to God. That's what I do. And when I start doing it, I start having more money than ever before. So I don't go beyond even tithe. I just want to bless God. I heard of a man that was giving so much to God and God was blessing him. I said, can I try? So I was doing that. Sometimes I'll come to church with my offering and I tell them, take that out. Sometimes to my offering they use for transport to take you home. I said, but it's God's money. But God doesn't spend the money. And over the year, it's become a thing of joy for me. Honestly, my greatest moment, is when I'm giving. Honestly, when I bless somebody, I know some of you would think that I'm crazy. For me, when I wake up every day, giving is my life mission. Not that I am announcing I'm giving, but I love to see life change. I love to see people blessed. That should be every child of God's mentality. Don't mind me, I was very selfish before. I will talk you to bring your own money, not my money, to the table. But I come to see that it's just beautiful. And you know, I'm praying that all of you over here, you'll be rich and change this country and bless people. Look at our people over here. They don't do anything right for anybody. Come on. I'm looking forward to that. You will be so blessed that you take people, change them, do things with their lives. I'm looking forward to that in Jesus' name. That your children will be blessed and be a blessing. Look at Americans. I'm not talking about John D. Rockefeller. Rockefeller has all over the place all kinds of aid they're doing. Rockefeller was a man that was very rich at the age of 45, dying of stomach ulcer. And he had money so much. And he said, Lord, my God, I'm dying. And they said, Lord, what do I do? He remembered his Sunday school teacher saying, give tithe to God. Give 10% to God. He said, God, I don't have much life left. So he started giving 10%. Guess what? Money began to come in and he got healed. And he died at around 95, 98. Americans, you see Africa today, you see a lot of aid. that the one giving us all aid. And we are getting the AIDS. AIDS. You know, AIDS. HIV. See, all the money, all this NGO, where they come from? Why are they always richer than us? They have learned the secret. We are always the one collecting the grants. But where are they getting? I was shocked to hear that some of these guys abroad, they will give, they have only 5 cents and they will give 2 out of 3. Because giving is part of their life. They learn it from their parents that had godly background. All right. I think that's the last question. Let's eat our food. No more. Jeremiah, you got a question? You are the Omega one, the last one. Okay, let's add it quickly. And then we'll leave here.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. So my question is from Acts 5.
Acts 5.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
Died. So I was talking with someone yesterday, and I was of the opinion that Peter misused the anointing that God gave him.
Used the anointing.
Misused the anointing that God gave him. I was like, the gift of God is
what, so why didn't God stop it from the guy dying? Why did God stop the girl from dying? I said, Peter, do that your job for my leg. Come on, here. Why did God allow that? Okay. Let's get into it. I wish you didn't bring this up. You know why? I wish you didn't bring this up. You know why? Someone said, Bible said they should give tithe under the Old Testament. What should we give under the new? The guy didn't give 100% and he died. Huh? Huh? Hello? Oh, you hear the story? He was having money, just sold land, and he brought part of it, and he said, is that all? He said, yes. And the man said, you sure? He said, no. He said, why do you like to lose spirit? Bam! He died. He didn't tell the guy to die. He just said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, you have lied to God. So God, Peter didn't kill him. He just said that to him, and the guy collapsed and died. So it collapsed, look. Are you hearing me? Peter didn't kill anybody. He just said, you lied to men. You don't lie to men, you lied to God. He didn't say anything. You guys stop putting Peter into trouble. Like one guy one time came to my house. You know, he was messing up his wife. He was not. Let's pray for our food. Please, lady, before you go, take your refreshment. Hello, lady. Before you go, take your refreshment. Hold on. Take your refreshment before you go. Just help me with that. Give her a refreshment. Our time is really gone. I wanted to go home too. My wife has gone. I'm only half left. My better half has gone. Okay. Ah. Okay. Where are we? I love you guys. You just enjoy yourself. Where did I stop? Dying, right? So Peter didn't kill anybody. The guy just collapsed and died. And when he collapsed, the wife came in 3 hours later. He didn't have any cell phone to tell her, like, we were quite cool. And he walked in and he said, hey, did you sell the same amount of money? He said, those one who carry your husband, carry your bam, died too. So he said, maybe Peter killed him. But he just told her what happened to the husband for lying, and then died too. Now, what's the story? What is it about? It never happened again. Happen only once. Please. 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 Don't use your gift to God to impress men. You can use the gift to men to impress men. But please, know your boundary. Don't try to give money in church to impress anybody. The guy was doing that because somebody sold their land, gave their money, and he wanted to impress people too in church. And he said, have you given up? Yeah. If you know how many pastors are having problem with pledges, people come to church like this, do a program. Yeah, I'm going to give 2 million. Oh, 1 million. Blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, I was in the program. The man that got me ordained, I went to go and preach for a church in Kirikiri, not in the prison, the assembly, in the town. And about 30-something years ago, the man said, oh, I like you. I want you to get ordained. And he went to take me to Bishop Akokoko to get me ordained. I never seen him again. I never seen him again until yesterday, celebrating his 78th birthday. I left Abeokuta to go for that birthday. Because when I was a young man, he was there for me. I was in my late 20s that time. Guess what happened? Let's pray about the food first. Father, we thank you for this refreshment. With thanksgiving, we receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. What was I talking about? About the man. Okay, I don't know if you are following me. I was talking about what? Why did I go there? 78. Why did I say 78 bad day? It was there for me. Now, listen carefully. I was talking about honoring God, not impressing men with it. I was at that place yesterday. He launched a book. Are you hearing me? He launched, he wrote his biography. And then people were giving money. And I came out and I said, we are going to give this amount of money for the books. I had a part of it. I dropped it. But you see, I said that publicly I must keep my word. I got to Abeokuta, I opened my phone, sent the money to him. I said, this is the money we promised. Is that all right? I just want to honor him. Because he was there for me. And so whatever you pledge, try and keep it. God is not asking you to pledge. Just imagine a guy telling you, I got some money in the bag for you. 500K. And you made 200K there. Won't you like that guy? Would you like him? Thank you. Beautiful. So that case is different. He collapsed because he was looking for public honesty. Sorry, public acclaim, and he got public disgrace by dying. By the way, he went to heaven, so relax.
Pastor, why people die like that?
Oh, yeah, sometimes you can be given a red card to go and sit down. You are not set out, but you are asked to sit down. You know, just that's why people die. People die. Now, can I shock you with this one before I close? People saying, oh, you're not going to make heaven. God will let you make heaven earlier. Hello? If you are messing up, so that you don't mess up your whole life totally. Yeah, that's it. That's what happened. All right. So, misuse the anointing. All right. Choir, let's sing and be on our way. Last week, we finished around 2 o'clock. Today is 2 something. I wish we can go. No problem. But I hope you enjoy yourself. Let's give our offering at the same time. Father, we thank you for our little gift of honor for you. Now open your eyes. If you don't have money to give, it's okay. One day you'll give more. Is that all right? Father, we thank you for what we are giving. We expect that your blessing will be upon us as we go through the week. And thank you because harvest always comes from you because we will reap when we sow. And if you give a tithe, we'll receive your blessing too in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give. Praise God. If you want to give your tithe, we have an envelope red to give you. The other blue ones for your offering. Thank you. Okay. Shala? All right. Just a minute. I've announced the meeting paradigm shift for next Sunday, right? All right. Great. Thank you.
I cannot be stranded, cause it's not consistent with the life in me. I cannot be broken, cause it's not consistent with the life in me. I've got the life of God in me. I cannot be sick, cause it's not consistent with the life in me. I cannot be helpless, cause it's not consistent with the life in me. I've got the life of God in me. I'm not ordinary, I live above the systems of the world. When there's a casting down, I say there's lifting up for me. That's just the way it is. So wait, so wait. I've got the life of God in me. Now I'm living in victory. So wait, so wait. I've got the life of God in me. Now everybody singing.
So hey, so hey.
The life of God in me. Now I'm living in victory. Everybody sing, winning is my lifestyle. Winning is my lifestyle. Winning is my lifestyle. I've got a life for God in me. Winning is my lifestyle, yeah. Winning is my lifestyle, yeah. Winning is my lifestyle. I've got a life for God in me. Hey, put your hands together. It's the life for Christ. The song, join us. I cannot be broken.
I cannot be broken.
It's not consistent.
It's not consistent with the life.
I've got the life of God in me.
I've got the life of God in me.
Somebody say, I cannot be seen.
I cannot be seen.
It's not consistent.
It's not consistent with the life in me.
I cannot be helpless. I'm a child of God.
In the month of November, can you just get up on your feet? November, 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 November. Great. Anybody else? November, November. Oh, November, November. Oh, November, November, November. Thank you, Titi. Thank you for taking the time. Okay, November. There are so many.
Thank you so much.
When I was announcing November, I didn't see many of you coming up. Please come up, come up, come up, come up, come up, come, 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 come. Wow, almost half of the place. November. Train is moving, join the train. I was born January, you can join November too. You're welcome, great. Wow, that's strange. We don't have people like this coming a lot for bad day. Today, oh, Shola, November 2. Okay, let's pray first of all. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the life you have given these young men and young women. Thank you for the beauty of even being in your house today. Thank you that we are celebrating the birth month. Lord, you want the best for us. You want us to grow, mature, complete, and experience life beyond the normal. I'm asking that that will be their testimony in Jesus' name. Lord, I only ask you that you bless them indeed and enlarge their territory. I pray that your hand will work with them and that they will not experience evil and they will not be a source of pain for their loved ones and for the world in Jesus' name. Thank you for making that request come to pass. Because you did it for Jabez, you can do it for them. And we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, you know what? When we are building this church, we plan that people, we know that people won't come forward. They won't come near here. So we now build this place for people's court. That when we do bad day, if they never come at all, at least once a year they will come here during their bad months. So welcome to the Holy of Holies, which is just a platform. Please come on. Come around the cake. Let's clap for them as they come. Come. All right, Shala, we can't call to do that today. James is not around.
Thank you so much, okay. Lord Jesus.
Titi.
We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you, Baba. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We are grateful, Jesus. Thank you so okay. much, Lord
All right.
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, by the way. When you go on Instagram, there's this voice you hear. It's Titi's voice you hear. Like I heard her voice yesterday talking about five reasons why you must be in church. Now, this is Titi live and direct. So, she's going to conduct the cake cutting. You're looking strange. You know why I picked you? The first are the last and the last are the first. So, you are the last over the house. So, you for. So do whatever you want to do with them for this cake cutting. Let me help you. Hold on. Shall I should have given you some training? Ask who yesterday is a bad day.
Okay, so if today is your birthday, can you signify? Okay, yesterday. Last week.
Nobody. Epa now. So
okay, Tuesday. Oh, okay, can you come forward?
Okay, great.
Okay, today. Your birthday.
Who asked today? Nobody. Tomorrow. Abba, you guys are different too. Okay, this week, last week, Jeremiah, move now.
Okay,
the prophet. Great. You guys are different. Remember too many.
Can you like put your hands on the knife and then we're going to call the name of Jesus and then we'll call the cake. So J E S U S. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you now? How old are you now?
May the good Lord bless you.
Thank you.
May the good
are worthy, oh Lord, invisible God.
Going home now. You know, let me tell you something that happened to me. Maybe you understand me sometimes. When we are closing service like this, I start feeling funny. I start feeling one kind. Why? Because some of us are going back to our lives. A little bit difficult, tedious, not easy. And you'll be able to laugh over here, rejoice, thank God that this moment is just at least to have a break. But I know you are going back there. It's not quite easy. Maybe struggling, painful, hassle, not having so much. But I just want to know that God is with you. You know, for me personally, that breaks me apart every service when we end like this. I know that some of us have been in the house where there's no light for 2 to 3 days. You know, I mean, just great. But let's not feel too. It's good to bear this trouble when you are younger like this. And let's keep pushing. Let's just not give up, right? As we get up, I want to pray one prayer as we close. I want to ask God to increase your capacity. Can you get up on your feet? Capacity for love, for joy, for peace, for goodness, for kindness. Increase my financial capacity. Increase my emotional capacity. Can we just pray? Increase my career capacity. Can we lift our hands to God and ask Him, Lord, just I'm asking you to just enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my intellectual capacity, my thinking capacity, my life capacity, my financial capacity, my spiritual capacity. I'm asking for enlargement of territory. And Lord, help me to use the time I'm living in to make the best for my life. Help me to work out the best out of the worst environment I'm living in. Thank you that I know that you are hearing me. You are a maker. You know how to make a life better. So I turn over my life over to you one more time to do great things with it. Thank you, Father, for doing so. In Jesus' name, we pray. Before we say amen, I want you to forgive people that have hurt you. Just say, Lord, I forgive. You can mention name. Lord, I forgive this person for what they've done to hurt me. Lord, I just forgive them. And as we round up, maybe you feel that you have sinned against God. You have messed certain things up. Just ask Him, Lord, I ask truly for your forgiveness. I want you to just cleanse this thing from me. Remove this record so I can breathe a sigh of relief again. Thank you for helping me to forgive me, to let me go and be released. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tell yourself, I'm forgiving and I forgive others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we share the grace, anybody, this is your first time in our service. We have some little bit of credit we want to give you free of charge and some books we want to give you. Anybody like that? First time in our service? Anyone? Oh, we are all omunile. All right. Okay, let's share the grace together. Grace for our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Before we say surely, if you need some transport money to get home, we have Ife over there. Thank you, Ife, for keep coming after you are married. I refuse to let you go. Great. So, if you need some transport money, the lady in white, just go to her, get some extra money.